Wake up, Chicago. This is the Santita Jackson Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Santita Jackson Show on WCPT 820, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station. I'm Santita Jackson, and it is my pleasure, blessing to be with you today. I hope that you're having a great Tuesday. I'm having a great one. How about you, Lady B?
Yeah.
Well, I know you're doing a million and one things. Go get in that microphone. How are you today?
I'm doing better.
So people can hear. There you go. You needed some rest yesterday, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, look, I'm telling you, sleep deprivation is a real thing, everybody. You know, we have to take care of ourselves.
Yes,
we really do. Hello to my morning stars. I love you all.
They're up before we even...
before we even come on. Michael Ann. Lorraine, who I saw last night. Hey, I met her last night. Let me tell you, Vicky and Paula, I love you all. Let's see who else. And that's right, I love all my sisters over here, and more will be coming over. Let me tell you, Lorraine, she came with her husband. They're a gorgeous couple. She has the most fabulous head of hair that I have seen in more than a minute. I mean, it's so full. It's this beautiful afro something that she's got going. I said, it's absolutely stunning. Really, really. It was like everybody, she was, Lorraine, you were the talk of the night. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. I mean, it was fabulous, fabulous. And I was so glad that we had Reverend Stephen Thurston for Let's Talk About It with Santita Jackson and Friends. We had a wonderful time. Continue to go to Santita Jackson and Friends. I'll share it with everybody here, too, because, you know, it was a wonderful conversation about mirror moments, about how we need to examine ourselves in all of our relationships. And Reverend Thurston, you know, he studied at Morehouse. He studied at Oxford. And he studied all these languages, Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, all of these languages. But he's also studied sociology and psychology. And he put, in addition to his background in theology, he put all of that into this book. I encourage everyone to get it. We're going to bring him on to talk about that because oftentimes we blame other people for things that, you know, other people can try to trip you up or pull your triggers. But guess what? There's something in us that needs fixing, too. So I think we're talking about that, and we're going to continue to talk about that today on this show, on the Santita Jackson Show on WCPT 820, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station, where we are taking your calls at 773-763-WCPT, 773-763-9278, because I want to find out what's on your mind in terms of politics, locally, statewide, nationally, globally. Well, I want to hear from you today. I'm just very, very curious. We're talking about the Bahamas today. In fact, we're honored to have the Honorary Consul General of the Bahamas, Michael C. Fountain, who's going to be joining us in just a few minutes to talk about what is going on over there. We saw what happened on the ferry. You know, do they have the proper documentation? We hear the president saying, you know, there's some bad people who are trying to get into the country. Wow. But the prime minister of the Bahamas, a great man, said, this is a generational devastation. We need help. Come on. And so we're going to talk about that. And then the North Carolina primaries, Republicans are trying to end their primaries because they're saying the president has no challenges. And that is as people are jumping into the race. Second hour, we're going to talk about this 12-year ban that the NFL had on black players. Were you aware of that? From 1934 to 1945, yeah. And Papa Bear, it turns out, had a role in that, George Halas. So we've got Jack Silverstein, who's going to be talking with us about that. He's a sports historian who really examined that. He said it's the 100th year of the NFL, but no one's talking about this ban on black athletes. So let's run to a few headlines, and I promise you we're going to abbreviate this a bit today so that we can bring the Honorary Consul General from the Bahamas on to give us an update on the devastation and the recovery, because this is a very resilient people. Let's go to a few headlines. Donald Trump suggests, quote, that very bad people, close quote, gangs and drug dealers in the Bahamas could be trying to enter the United States of America. After dozens of evacuees from the Hurricane Dorian ravaged Bahamas without visas were forced off of a ferry to Florida, President Donald Trump said the U.S. needed to be very careful with who was allowed in and implied that dangerous people could be trying to enter, including very bad gang members and drug dealers. Trump told reporters on the White House South Lawn on Monday afternoon, quote, "We have to be very careful. Everybody needs totally proper documentation. Look, the Bahamas had some tremendous problems with people going to the Bahamas that weren't supposed to be there. I don't want to allow people that weren't supposed to be in the Bahamas to come to the United States, including some very bad people, some very bad gang members, and some very bad drug dealers." It was heartbreaking to see these people pushed off of the ferry yesterday. Hundreds of Bahamian refugees kicked off U.S.-bound ferry over visa confusion, according to this report from USA Today. A confusion over travel, over required travel documents, is severely hindering some efforts for people to seek relief. And so, you know, let us bring on the Honorable Consul General of the Bahamas, Michael C. Fountain. I'm so glad that you are with us today. Blessings to you from all of us in Chicago and all around the country and all around the world who are listening to this broadcast today. How are you today?
Good morning, Santita. I am pleased to be with you.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you. Please tell us what happened. Let's go back to the beginning, Hurricane Dorian, and what has been the impact?
The geographic face of the Bahamas has been changed forever. 70% of the homes on the islands of Abaco and Grand Bahama are devastated. 70,000 residents of those islands misplaced, displaced, homeless, and a descent into this state of shock, this chaos that occurs after an unconscionable tragedy of this nature. But though our hearts are heavy, our spirits remain strong. The world has stood up to pledge its support. As images have poured out from the Bahamas all over the world, as we have welcomed those from all shores to our shores, people know and love this country, and that outpouring of love and support has been the next overwhelming thing. I want to be overwhelmed as the Bahamian people want to be overwhelmed by love and support, and we certainly have been.
What can we do for you? And how can we help?
The easiest thing to do at the moment is to donate. Financial resources, monetary assistance, they make a tremendous difference in relation to the efforts on the ground. There are two things I would recommend to get started for people. The easiest way to get started is www.bahamas.com/relief. There's up-to-date information on where to donate, the types of supplies and things that are needed, where that money is going to go. Also, there's an organization on the ground, Frontline, Hurricane Aftermath. They've gotten very good at these very terrible and unfortunate things. They're known as the Head Knowles Organization. And they can be reached and donated to at www.oneeleuthera.org/donate.
Oneeleuthera.org.
That's correct.
Is that the number one or O-N-E?
O-N-E.
Okay.
Oneeleuthera.org/donate.
What about Bahamians who have relatives in the United States? Will they be allowed to come to the United States until they can go home?
We launched locally, and there are 8 Bahamian diplomatic jurisdictions in the United States of America. I'm responsible for the Midwest jurisdiction that encompasses 10 states in the Midwest. And in the Midwest, over the weekend, we launched the Bahamas Forward Initiative with Reverend Jackson and Operation Push Coalition. And Reverend Jackson called for the waiving of visas so that the elderly, the medically infirm, students could get to the U.S. and stay with relatives for a time, a temporary suspension of visas so that they could be in the States until such time they could return to the island. So that call has gone out. It had gone out from Florida legislators. We thought perhaps, as we had heard the Prime Minister speak on the relationship with President Trump, that there was going to be a meaningful and sustained relationship here. But unfortunately, I think the President is painfully predictable. And I don't know how, when you turn an evacuee argument into a transient, migrant, hostile argument and you play to the base, I don't know how. I don't know how we move past this. I don't know how we move through that. And I don't know how we help people get here. When you are in the middle of, as the Washington Post described it, a tornado and a flash flood occurring at the exact same time for a day and a half, maybe you don't have the consciousness to grab your documents and try to keep them dry or put them in a bag or do these things. And people are showing up in the Bahamas at the, as they have been brought from Abaco and Grand Bahama and evacuated out. And now are in the capital city of Nassau and going to the passport office. And even there, it's difficult to then get things done. You don't have any documentation. What are you supposed to do? I'm not sure how to answer that question in relation to how we're going to help people get to their family members here.
Well, because I'm wondering about that, you know, because the Miami Herald, which is really widely read by the Bahamian community and the West Indian community, said that the Bahamas capital is not built to handle this. But I don't know how many capitals would be hit, would be built to handle this kind of devastation. You, 70,000 people
Correct.
Have been rendered homeless, and you have the population. What is your population?
Almost 400, 390 plus thousand.
So nearly one in five persons in the Bahamas have lost their homes. What are they to do?
We're going to have to figure that out over time.
Okay.
I mean, right now, the focus and concern is getting people off the islands that have been devastated. How we move forward in terms of infrastructure, in terms of housing and food and clothing and opportunities. Many of the Bahamians in the news reports are talking about getting out altogether. Canada is a partner to the Bahamas, and they are a true partner in terms of the work that they're doing, as they are offering shelter and residence to Bahamians with passports. They're letting them in, and there's no issues there. I don't know with other partners who have stepped up in this process, like the United Kingdom, like the Dutch, the Germans. I don't know what their policies and programs and plans are going to be, but it's unfortunate that now the news cycle is turning into a strange political hostility that really is not a part of the conversation that we were trying to have about helping people who have to find a place to live. The conversation after you get off the island is a simple one. What's next? What's next?
We're speaking with the Honorable Michael C. Fountain, the Honorary Counsel for the Bahamas. He is over the Midwestern jurisdiction of the United States, and we are talking about how we can move forward, what we can do in Chicago, in Illinois, throughout the country, throughout the world, to help the people of the Bahamas. They are our global brothers and sisters, everybody. They need our help. That hurricane was sustained for what, almost 2 days, yes?
Correct. At its maximum strength, yes.
I'm wondering how you survived that. I mean, I can't even, the fear. I'm speechless.
It's miraculous. Yeah, I am as well. Because I've watched every image. I've heard most stories. This is a part of my day. Typically, what I do is I spend time in the city of Chicago on my day job, and as the honorary counsel, it's considered a volunteer citizen diplomat platform. So typically I'm coming in, I'm watching the local news, then I'm watching the Bahamian news, reading the American press, looking at the Bahamian press. And so obviously my reading and watching has been dominated by the stories over the last 2 weeks. I don't know how people survived. Hearing the stories, something in the indomitable human spirit steps up, and it is just about survival. I was listening to the story of a pastor last night who, from Abaco, who made it to Nassau, and they were in church, and he described the story of five people in the corner of a house standing for 24 hours as the winds and the rain pummeled the home in that one corner. He said the one corner was the only one that was standing. There was no greater statement of faith that he made in front of that congregation than about what was going on as they stood in a corner for 24 hours through this nightmare. And you wonder within yourself, what would I have done? Would I have been able? Would I have found a way? You don't know unless you're tested.
And one would never want to be tested in that way, but certainly the people of the Bahamas have shown us the resilience of a human being. And so I just thank you for being with us today. Again, how can we help immediately?
We are going to, as I mentioned, with the Bahamas Forward Initiative in Chicago, in the Midwest, we are going to be putting out information about our long haul. This is a long-term strategic thing for us. We want to be as helpful and as impactful here as we can be. So we are going to be doing our clothes and item and food and supply drives. So we hope that you will continue to be a partner with us when we get that information out. I stress again, www.bahamas.com/relief, www.onealuthra.org/donate. Please be generous. Please be thoughtful. And the biggest way that you can help at this point is to not forget that the Bahamas is open for business. Though Abaco and Grand Bahama are devastated, our islands and the capital city of Nassau, though probably a little bit more crowded right now, are open for business. The tourist spots that people go are open for business. We need you now more than ever. Come to our country, experience our beauty and the love of our people. We are still there.
The Honorable Michael C. Fountain, Honorary Counsel, General of the Bahamas, and I want to thank you so much for being with us today so early in the morning.
But thank I appreciate it.
Oh, blessings to you. Blessings. Everybody, we're going to put this on the WCPT820.com website so that you can contribute. And call 773-FREEDOM, 773-FREEDOM at Rainbow Push, so that you can find out how you can get involved. We really need to do that because I must tell you, Honorable Michael C. Fountain, you know, I take migrant workers very seriously because, and very personally, as you heard my brother Jonathan say on Saturday, our grandmother was a migrant worker. She grew up in South Florida, but at her time, she would have been 93 had she been alive today. She just died a couple of years ago. She was born poor, and she was orphaned, I think, when she was about 12. And she got on the boat before then, years ago. And they would go through Cuba, and they would go through the Cat Islands, which is where my grandfather is from, and they would go through the Bahamas, and she would work. She would chop sugarcane. She would pick beans. And it's a part of the world that's very much a part of me. And so I just want to thank you for your work. I really do. Blessings to you. And we're going to keep rising. How about that? We're going to do that. So everybody, go to WCPT820.com. We're going to give you those websites that you can go to. And we're also going to, I'm going to put it on my Santita Jackson and Friends page on Facebook. And you should go to call Rainbow Push because we want to help. So call me at 773-763-WCPT, 773-763-WCPT. What do you make of the president criminalizing these people? I mean, they withstood a Hurricane 5 level 5 hurricane for nearly two days. You just heard that some people literally stood on their feet for 24 hours. Can you imagine a hurricane for 5 minutes, let alone 2 days? And then what we hear is that they are very bad people. They're being pushed off of ferry boats. It's just inhumane. And we can do better. We can do better, and we must. Let me go through a few more headlines, Lady B. We've got a special election today in scandal-plagued North Carolina. Wow, North Carolina, 9th Congressional District seat. It is still open. It is still open. The election was November of 2018, but it's still open. There will be a special election today after a ballot fraud scandal led the state elections board earlier this year to invalidate the 2018 results and overturn what it appeared to be a Republican victory. In terms of overall control of Congress, not a whole lot is at stake, but the scandal that prompted this special election has attracted national attention with an apparent victory overturned after officials looked to an embarrassing scheme involving a local operative hired by the GOP's 2018 campaign and he falsified absentee ballots. Wow. Everybody, I cannot wait to hear what will be the result of that contest. It's interesting, even though that district voted very heavily for President Trump because of gerrymandering, the district, although they voted very heavily for Trump, there are 8% more registered Democrats in the district. But because of gerrymandering, they don't get the representation. Go figure. Boris Johnson and Brexit. He's having a hard time. He's lost his sixth vote in 6 days as an election bid is shut down. He shut down Parliament amid chaotic scenes in the early hours of this morning following his sixth parliamentary defeat in 6 days as MPs, ministers of Parliament, voted to block a snap election and to force the publication of number 10 Downing Street secret preparations for a no Brexit deal. The U.S. has added 130,000 jobs in August, but it was dropping below expectations. Hiring slowed amid a trade war as economists expected to add about 160,000 jobs, while unemployment remained at 3.7%. Continue to call us at 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT. There was no bomb found in this suspicious vehicle that shut downtown Baltimore yesterday. Thank God for that. Poor and middle-class Americans, sadly, are much less likely to survive into their 70s than the wealthy, according to a federal report. Poorer Americans are much less likely to survive into their 70s and 80s than rich Americans, according to this Washington Post report. A stark life expectancy divide compounded by the nation's growing disparities in wealth. According to a federal report, over three-quarters of the richest 50-somethings in 1991 were alive in 2014, the report found. But among the poorest 20% of that group, the survival rate was less than 50%, according to an analysis by the Government Accountability Office. The notorious RBG, that's right, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, spoke at the University of Chicago. She is, as many people have said, she's an historic role model for our judicial system. And so we are very, very excited that her health has been preserved and she just keeps on going. She keeps on going, the notorious RBG. Well, they said that, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, that Mayor Lori Lightfoot is angry and frustrated about the police overtime that taxpayers cannot afford. She said on Monday she's angry and frustrated about runaway overtime at the Chicago Police Department and plans to hold Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson personally accountable for reining in an abuse beleaguered Chicago taxpayers cannot afford. And our beloved Chicago Fire and the Chicago Park District are close to finalizing an agreement for the club to use Soldier Field. According to Avis Lavelle, president of the Park District's board, she said she was unaware of the deal's terms, which are still being negotiated. But we're excited about good things coming to the Chicago Fire. Chance the Rapper, our beloved Chance the Rapper, he's postponed most of his tour, but for a very good reason. He just became a daddy. That's right. Again, he has a second daughter, Marley. Of course, her older sister is Kensley. And so we are sending love to the Bennett household. Everybody who, for the first time ever, most working age hires in the United States are people of color. The surge of minority women getting jobs in the U.S. has helped push the U.S. workforce across a historic threshold. For the first time, most new hires of prime working age, 25 to 54, are people of color. According to a Washington Post analysis of data the Labor Department began collecting in the 1970s, minorities overtook white hires last year. Everybody, what happened in sports? The Cubs, oof. Boy, they beat the San Diego Padres 10-2. The White Sox are playing the Kansas City Royals tonight, so we'll see what happens with them. The Chicago Fire don't play until the 14th. And the Chicago Red Stars will be playing the Orlando Pride tomorrow. Hello, Chicago Sky will be playing the Mercury tomorrow. And the Bears, of course, will be playing on Sunday, the Broncos. We will see. There was a mixed close in the markets yesterday. The Dow was up by 38%, but the NASDAQ and the S&P were down. The NASDAQ was down by 15 points. The S&P was down by 0.28 of a point. And today we're expecting a high of 88 degrees. We'll have more of the Santita Jackson Show in just a few minutes, but I want your calls. Call me at 773-763-WCPT, 773-763-WCPT. 9278, as we talk about the politics of the day. What do you make of the Republicans canceling the primaries as Republicans are trying to run in the primary? What do you think of what's happening in North Carolina? What do you think of police overtime in Chicago? There's so much to talk about, and I want to hear from you. Call me at 773-763-9278, 773-763. WCPT on the nation's largest progressive talk radio station. I'm Santita Jackson.